Take your Bibles and turn me, please, to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I guess you can see the heart of my wife. This means an awful lot to her. And God knows everything that he's doing and has ways of bringing about divine pauses in our life and things to happen to teach us. And he is good all the time. 2 Kings chapter number 6 this morning. Verse number 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore trouble for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, and saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots, a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and the word of God. Make the scriptures not just be alive as they already are, but come off the pages and walk into the vestibule of everybody's heart and make it fit for the need that is here this morning in all lives. Thank you for the word of God that is so precious, that reminds us that you're always with us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anything you can learn from this chapter, is that Elisha is going to be a man that's going to pray not generically, but specifically about something happening. And I do believe in our lives that a sign of maturity is that you learn to pray specifically about certain things that are so important. And in this text here, we're going to see how the man of God is going to pray that this young man's eyes are open to what all is going on around him. And God does that. Then he goes on, and I didn't read the scriptures, but he prays that the eyes would be blinded by the Samaritans, and they were. And then they would be opened again, and they were. And no doubt we learn some valuable things about Elisha in these verses, but what we see here and learn and are reminded that when somebody can't see too good, it's a handicap. And especially in the realm of faith or having the eyes to see that which perhaps needs to be seen in the spiritual realm. And no doubt I do believe that this can be applied not just to the physical, but to the eyes of faith, to have an understanding that enables us to see in realms that sometimes we forget that exist, and to realize that God is not somebody that's just left us alone, that he is there even when we maybe don't see him. In these verses, I want you to notice there is an unseen hindering, and actually Elisha and his servant don't realize it, but in verse 8, the king of Syria represents the devil's crowd. And he says, I'm going to come and find out where your camp is, and I'm going to park myself right on your camp, and I'm going to try to make you as miserable as you can be. I'm going to hinder what you're going to try to do. In all of our Christian lives, I think you'll realize from time to time, it seems like there's something trying to slow me down, something that's always there trying to hinder me. Well, in these verses here, no doubt the king of Syria represents that unseen hindering that they were going to have in their lives as much as we often have in ours. And Christian, I want to remind you on this Sunday morning that our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. And he hates you, and he hates your God, and he hates everything you stand for and everything you want to try to accomplish in the Lord. And just like this unseen evil one was coming against them, the Bible says, therefore he sent. And the devil's always going to send somebody to try to hinder you, or something to try to get you off base, or to get your focus out of sorts, and to get your eyes off the prize that God has set before you. And I want you to notice in these verses here, this unseen hindering came at nighttime while they were asleep. And boy, the devil loves to work in our lives when it's in the darkest hour. When things are tough and difficult, and maybe we've laid down to sleep, or maybe it's the darkest hour, the devil comes along. And he's always out to try to hinder us and to get us off course and to make us want to throw in the towel and make us want to quit. And that's what he was coming to do in the night to this young man and to Elijah, and to scare the tar out of him and to make him say, my goodness, we can't go any further. We are surrounded and we give up all hope. No doubt that was an unseen hindering. But I want you to notice an unseen help that's shown here in these verses. Now, this young man, he waited upon the man of God. And no doubt this young man was in the very center of God's will. But yet he's blinded to something that's going on in his life. And I do believe we as Christians, sometimes we can be blinded to the fact that God is trying to do something in our life. He's trying to let us see something he wants us to see, and we're so busy to see what's happening around us and the trouble that lays before us that we fail to recognize there's something God is trying to teach us in this. You see, the young man, he sees this posse outside that has come to get him, and he runs to the man of God and he wakes him up early in the morning and says, my goodness, we are surrounded by horses and chariots. How shall we do? And what he's saying to the man of God, he's saying, listen, we're out here trying to do what we're supposed to do. What in the world are we going to do? It's like he's saying, well, it looks like it's all over now. It looks like we're going down for the count, Elijah. There's two of us and we're totally surrounded. And sooner or later in your life, you'll face some things that come against you that'll make you think there's no way to get beyond this. You're going down for the last time. This is the epitaph of your life. There will never be another victory, and we've got you cornered, and we've got you now. Ha ha, this is the end. But I want to remind you this morning from these scriptures, there's always, like with them, an unseen help that is available for the people of God. And these Bible verses here teach us a couple of valuable things. One thing is perceive the biblical principle. Sooner or later in all of our lives, we'll find ourselves facing things that we never dreamed we might have to face, and especially as you get older. And I want to remind you that we walk by faith and not by sight. Get your eyes off of the things that are temporal, for the things that are seen, they are temporal. The things that are not seen, they are eternal. And God loves us all so much that he will not leave us like we are. And God loves us all so much that he wants to change us. And there's a biblical principle that operates in every child of God's life, and that is God is always there to help us no matter what we face. The Lord is our helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And see, Elisha had perceived that biblical principle that works in everybody's life. If we were to go to it in time, will not allow us to do it this morning, but in chapter number 2, Elijah, the Bible tells us, is out walking with Elijah. And Elijah tells him, if you watch me when I go up on this day, you will get a double portion of my spirit. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter number 2, that as they walked along and talked, suddenly the Bible says there appeared horses of fire. Now you think about what that looked like. And chariot of fire. And Elijah stepped on it, a picture of the rapture, and he disappeared into the heavens. And suddenly the mantle fell, and Elisha, this man of God, right here, caught it. And I believe that was a watershed moment in his life that his eyes got open to realize that, wait a minute, there is a world of things going on around me at all times that I do not always see. Do you know right now in our life and in our world, and even in this room, there's things going on that we can't even see? While we all could get out of our phones this morning and pull up a page or a web browser or something and make a contact and send a message and We could look up. We wouldn't even see that thing darting around in here. You wouldn't see the reception coming into your phone. Or if somebody gets on a microphone as I am now, it's being broadcast out through there. How all this stuff works, I don't know. But I know if man could come up with all these unseen ways of distributing and broadcasting and all, do you not realize that there is an unseen realm that you and I have operating around us as Christians at all times? If we could only see how many times God sent an angel to protect us or allowed something to get in the way and to stop something. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And there's a biblical principle that if we're not careful in our Christian lives, it'll be ever so easy to forget that God at any time could call legions of angels to our side. The Bible tells us that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth for them that are heirs of salvation. In the book of 1 Kings, one angel on one bloody night killed 185,000 armies against God. Don't ever underestimate what God can do for you when your back is against a wall. And this young man saw his back was against the wall, but the prophet stood there very calmly and told him that Elisha, it's going to be all right. And he prayed, Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. See what? That there's a world of things going on around him that he's lost sight of. If you and I are not careful, we will forget the biblical principle that is ever so important in our Christian lives, that there's always things happening we may not can see that God is doing. In the Old Testament, there's a story of old Balaam. The Bible tells us that Balaam raised a donkey from its early life, and he always rode it everywhere he wanted to go. And one morning he got up to go against the will of God. The Bible tells us in Numbers 22 that old Balaam went out and started riding that donkey, and the donkey sees the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Balaam's so stinking blind he don't see it, but the old donkey does. And that jack pushed him up against the wall, and he thought, what am I in the world? What's this donkey doing to me right now? And he pulled him over, and when he did, the angel of the Lord stepped over the other side and got in the way again. And old Balaam reared his arm back and got ready to smite the donkey. And the donkey would speak to him and say, have I not always been with you from the day that you got me and taken care of you? I've not ever done something like this before. Can't you see what I'm seeing? Here's a donkey talking to the man of God and saying, you've lost sight of what's going on. There's somebody standing right in front of you that's trying to stop you from going the way you want to do, and he's interrupting your life, and you're too blind to see it. And the Bible says, and the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. God brings divine interruptions to all of our lives. God works mysterious ways in our lives, sometimes that we never planned. The best laid plans of mice and men always go awry, but God always knows what he's doing, and he makes no mistakes in our lives. And yet sometime we forget the biblical principle that exists. There's always more for us than they that be against us, as mentioned in verse 16. Second of all, could I say, pray the biblical prayer. And the Bible says here, and Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. We all understand there's no seeing unless you have eyes to see. And in the spiritual realm, I remember when I got saved back in 1981. All of a sudden, my eyes were opened up to a realm that I did not understand that existed. And by the way, if you're not saved, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he understand them, because they're spiritually discerned. You got to be born again. And once you're born again, God removes the scales from your eyes, and he opens them for you and I to see. But in time, sometimes sin and darkness and circumstances and money and people and things and jobs and houses and cars and politics and everything of the sort blind us. The God of this world blinds us to the glorious things of Jesus Christ. And we cannot see what God is doing. And many times we find ourselves groping as Christians, wondering, what in the world is God doing? I feel like I'm blinded. But here's the prayer to pray. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when the Lord opened his eyes, there was round about Elijah, the Bible says, a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire.
And the young man suddenly came to see with his own eyes and the eyes of faith that there's something going on here, and I've really got more working for me than I thought I had. It looked like my back was against a wall, and if these enemies only could see what's now behind them that's about to devour them, they would be the ones on the run instead of me sitting here letting my knees knock together. Open his eyes that he may see. Carnal minds of even Christians sometimes lose sight of what God is doing in their lives. Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord doing something in your family right now? Is he doing something in your life? And maybe you need to do what Elijah did. Pray this prayer. Lord, open mine eyes that I can see what's really going on. The psalmist said this, open thou mine eyes and I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I think it's a biblical thing to pray, Lord, show me in the word of God what it is that I need to see. Can I show you from these verses here? Young people need this prayer prayed for them. He says, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. Dee and I raised 4 kids and got 13 grandchildren, and God's been good to us. But I'll be frank with you. There's a couple of times I want to take my 2 boys and kill them and tell God it was an accident. And kids can get so stupid and crazy sometime and do some of the, you know, God has blinded many times to the sins of youth. Hallelujah. And when a parent gets at the end of their wits and they say, why is this boy so stinking stupid? And why is this kid doing what they're doing? Open the eyes of the young man that he may see. Young people get blinded easily sometime to the dark things of this world, and naturally, old people do too as the days unfold. I believe it's right for teachers and those that try to mentor young people to try to pray when you're frustrated with somebody, you're not getting through to them. Pray, Lord, open their eyes that they can see. That's what Elisha did, and he prayed. You see, we're talking about the eyes of faith. Or the Bible says, through faith we understand. The Bible tells us clearly that and teaches us that it's when we access faith that gives us the ability to see the invisible, the things that we don't always see going on in our lives. And this young man is certainly somebody that needed his eyes to be opened. And because of the tranquil prophet praying, Lord, open this young man's eyes, he spared him from destruction. Wouldn't it be sad that if some young person we know ends up in wreck and ruin, and it was a result of us failing to pray them through what they're dealing with in their life? And Elisha prayed, and he stopped this tragedy of this faithless young man, because Elijah had seen that God is always doing things that maybe we don't understand around us. Can I remind you what the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus is that Jesus in the Bible, when you look at his life, he always saw everything going on. You see, in the Bible, it'll say things like, and Jesus saw them toiling. And Jesus saw the multitudes. And Jesus saw the poor widow. And in life, sometimes when somebody has eye trouble, it may take a lot of money and a surgery and some time to get the sight just right and fixed. But not with Jesus. He sees everything going on and everybody. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Jesus has got 20/20 vision about what's going on in your life right now. He knows your address. He knows every little thing. It's had to be approved to come across his desk to have to happen. Jesus sees it all. And that's why when you get into the writings of the Revelator John in the New Testament, you'll find over and over there's the references about I, John, saw. Twice in the Revelation, John says, I saw. 25 times, I mean, he said, I saw. Twice, he says, John saw in the Revelation's writings. Many times in Revelation, the writer will say something like this. When he gets ready to open up a seal, he'll say, come and see. Because sometimes we don't want to stop and pause our life and say, no, wait a minute. What is it we're trying to, what is the Lord's trying to show us here? What is it that we're supposed to be learning? What is it that I'm supposed to see? Am I supposed to see the God of heaven showing me how much he loves me? And I submit to you, not just praying that for the young people, but God's servants need to pray that for themselves. This man got up, Elijah, with this young man that was his servant, and he prayed, Lord, open his eyes. When we go into these churches like we are here this morning, I pray as I've prayed, Lord, open people's eyes that they can see there's a great need, and to see that if they invest in paper, we can print some Bibles and give to the missionaries, and they can have what they need, and they can take them as we distribute them to the mission fields free of charge. And what they do right there in North Carolina at Benson Grove Baptist Church, it can go into the far recesses, the uttermost places of the world. If they can just get a vision of what can happen once the scriptures get out and how God can use them. It's such an amazing, open their eyes to see. And sometimes we need to pray, Lord, open my own eyes. Or Lord, open my son's eyes. Or Lord, open my boss's eyes. Or Lord, open my wife's eyes. Or Lord, open my husband's eyes. Or Lord, I'm scared. And honestly, Lord, I'm surrounded. And I don't know what the answer is right now. And I'm really confused. And Lord, I'm just being honest. I don't know what's really going on here. And open my eyes to see. Because when God opens your eyes to see, it'll chase fear from the place. The Bible says when he said that, he said, fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be against us. God, when he whispers faith into your ears and opens your eyes, there'll be an unusual peace that you'll have that God's got this, that God's in control. Lastly, this morning, I want you to see an unseen host. For the Bible tells us in these verses here, in verse number 15, that the young man saw a host that compassed the city. But I will remind you as a Christian this morning that there is not just an unseen help, but there's an unseen host, and it's the host of the Lord of hosts. You know, you might read the Psalms sometime, and I love the Psalms, and boy, they're such helpful verses God gives us. But how often we read and we don't stop and recognize a name of the Lord is the Lord of hosts. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I love that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Not the God of a saint walking uprightly, but the God of a stinking supplanter named Jacob. The Lord of hosts is our refuge. Have you ever thought about how many hosts God has for all of us and what we face? Well, he's got a host of angels. He's got a host of money. He's got a host of things. He's got a host of wisdom, host of power, host of ways, host of ideas. He's got a host of Christians. God can get us out of our messes if we just try to learn in our messes and let God show us the host that he has to take care of stuff. God's a mighty powerful God and can do certain things. If you're thirsty, God's got the water you need. If you're hungry, he's got the food you need. If you're lacking money, he's got the money you need. If you're fearful, he's got that which you need to take your fear away. There's nothing like Christ. He's always the answer. He's always got the remedy. He's always got your back because he loves you enough to have died upon the cross and was buried and rose again from the dead. And he's got you all the way you go through life, bringing host into your life of things to do. I read this past week when my wife got the news about her throat, and man, we were weeping and crying. I've watched my wife just be so broken this week, and I read about in the Nazi Holocaust in the concentration camp when they delivered the Jews. A Jewish person had written on a prison wall. They said, "I believe in the sun when it does not shine. I believe in love when it's not even expressed." And he says, "And I believe in God when he's silent." What kind of Christian are you when your back is against the wall? You blame God and get mad and throw your little old fit. Well, like a kid, want to take your toys and run off. Won't you just stop and yield to the Lord and say, "Change me, show me, teach me, speak to me. You're altogether lovely. You don't make any mistakes. Why, Lord, my old flesh rebels, but you really do know what is best. And my enemies are flesh and blood, no doubt, but the spiritual realm teaches me that I'm best with what you perhaps allow to come my way." Never forget in the course of life that you take that God loves you, that Jesus cares deeply for you and everything you go through in your life. I heard the story of one of the great preachers of the 1800s. Actually, two of the greatest preachers of the 1800s were Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody. Perhaps you've heard about them.
Spurgeon was an intellectual. Moody was a very country fellow that just butchered the king's English, but boy, had the power of God on him. In the early 1800s, a man by the name of H.A. Ironside met a man that heard Moody preach and was saved in under Moody's ministry in England. When he came there one time, Moody was originally out of Chicago, and the man at that time was a student at Cambridge University in England. And Cambridge University had invited Moody across the pond to come there to speak and to hold some meetings, and they invited him to come speak at that illustrious, fancy Cambridge University. And some of the students in rebellion couldn't believe they'd asked some old country bumpkin like Moody, who slandered and, you know, butchered up everything, to come and speak at their very refined school. And this young man that was in that meeting, who was now an older man that Ironside met, gave him this testimony. He said, as a young college student, me and some other guys, we decided that we were going to go that night to hear Moody preach, and we're going to sit on the front row, and we're going to mock him and make faces and try to get him off sorts of what he was there to preach about. That night, said that Sankey got up and he sang and led the songs and quietened the crowd a bit, but the young men were on the front being disruptive, and they were so angry that Moody had come to their fancy school, and they just wanted to make him look bad. They started making faces at him and laughing and jeering at stuff. But he said that when Moody walked up in the pulpit with all the confusion and stuff going on, said Moody looked down at him, he said, "Young men, don't you ever think that God don't love you, because he do." And they thought, what kind of sentence is that? And they talked a little bit, Moody did, and then he looked back over and said, "Young men, don't you ever forget that God don't see you, for he do, and he do love you." He said the Spirit of God was all on what he was saying. God loves me. And that night when Moody gave the invitation, he told Ironside, he said, "I went forward and I got saved. And that night I surrendered to preach, because I walked away with a thought that had never burned as deep as it did that night in my soul. And it's so real to me today as a Christian. Don't ever come to the place that I don't think God loved me, because he do." Here this morning, whatever you're dealing with in your life and family, and as old Spanish proverb says, every home has its hush. And in this room, I'm sure there's burdens and heartaches and broken hearts and confusion and fear. You think you're surrounded and God's just given up on you and thrown you to the wayside, and this is finally it. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord open the eyes that you may see that God still loves you deeply, and he's got a plan for what he's doing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll use this message this morning. Thank you for the open door of utterance. Thank you for this fine church and these people. And brother, my pastor friend here, thank you for our brother Billy. I pray, God, you'll bless his family. I pray you'll use this invitation now, Lord, in a mighty way. In my heart, I come to talk about Victory Baptist Press and Bibles and the great need, and it is a great need. I just have been reminded here recently so much. There's a lot of hurting hearts, and there's a lot of souls that are weeping and crying, and maybe somebody here, they went to bed last night with tears on their pillow and fear in their heart. And here they sit in church this morning, and may you open their eyes to hear the Holy Spirit say, "I love you. And I've got a purpose in all this. And I'm going to show you my strength. And in your weakness, my strength is going to be made perfect. And I'm going to do something with this for my glory and honor." The Lord, help us to look up to heaven and say, "Jesus, I love you." Job was able to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And God used a preacher, give him invitation with his people. I pray this morning, and I'll thank you for what you do in the strong name of Jesus. Amen, Pastor.